It's the first day of the new job. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today I have another story for you for Comprehensible Input. We rejoin David and Chris, the young college students who have returned home for the summer. They have been hired to work construction, but neither one of them have ever done this in the past. This is a brand new experience. They're fairly excited about this prospect because they expect they'll learn quite a lot. They had been told to show up at the newspaper at the loading dock at 7 a.m. When they arrived, Chris found a parking place and parked the car. They walked to the loading dock to enter the building, but they were challenged by the security guard. The guard said, "Whoa, where you boys think you're going?" They stopped in their tracks. They looked at this guard because they did not expect to be challenged. They figured they would just walk right in. They had no idea. It was David who answered the guard's challenge. He said that they were there to work construction and that they were with the McCree Construction Company. They were supposed to meet Pete. At this point, the expression on the guard's face softened quite a bit. He said, "Oh, okay, that makes sense. Pete'll be along pretty soon and he'll vouch for you and you can go in. But in the meantime, just cool your heels out here." Now, the expression "cool your heels" is a casual expression. There are many ways to say "wait" in English, and "cool your heels" is one of them. Cool your jets, wait, or even just chill or chill out. The guard could have said, "Chill here until he gets here." He could have just said, "Wait here." About 5 minutes later, Pete emerged from inside the building and walked out to the security guard and the boys. He greeted the security guard by name and introduced the two boys. With that, the security guard signaled that they could proceed into the building with Pete. As they walked into the building, Pete asked who was who. He wanted to get the name straight so that he could match name to face, and that was handled quickly. They made their way through the hallways and the stairwell and found themselves in a very big empty room. Pete turned on the lights, and it was bathed in fluorescent light. At that point, the boys could see that furniture had been moved. The carpet looked very old and worn, and things were fairly dirty. On the side of this big room, there were two ladders and a toolbox. Pete turned to the boys and said, "This is where we will be working for the next few weeks. We have a lot to do here." He gestured to the floor and said, "All this carpet needs to be ripped out. Our floor contractor is going to come and put in new floor covering, but that will be after we remove all this carpet, all the tack strips, and I get a chance to patch the holes in the floor." He then gestured to the wall on the far side of the room and said, "A good bit of that wall will be demolished. We're going to rip it out because on the other side of that wall is a hallway. The manager wants this room to be a little bigger, and that hallway really isn't needed at this point." He then pointed to the ceiling tiles and he said, "You see all these ceiling tiles? They look terrible. They all need to be removed and we're going to put new ones in. But before we put in the new ceiling tiles, the electrical contractor is going to put in new light fixtures." He said, "This job's going to take us a few weeks, and you'll probably be here about 2 or maybe 3 days a week. We'll see. I'm sharing your time with another job site out at that cabinet factory. Between the two job sites, you'll get 5 days a week of work." The boys nodded, they understood, and they didn't have any questions at this point. Pete said, "Okay, now we've got a couple of practical things. It's not even 7:30, and the office in the newspaper that handles the ID badges won't be open until 9 in the morning. So sometime after 9, I'll come get you, and we can go up to that office and get you a temporary badge. These badges will have your name, and they will allow you to enter the building without the security guard giving you a hard time. Some guys wear the badge on their shirt. Other guys clip it to their hat. And then Pete smiled and he said, "But you don't have hats now, do you?" And the boys indicated no by waving their heads in the negative. Pete said, "Well, we're going to take care of that right now, because your first piece of safety gear is about to be issued to you by the company, no charge." The boys were happy to hear that, but they weren't really sure what he was talking about. Were they going to get hats? They walked over, following Pete, to his toolbox, and just on the other side of the toolbox, there were two brand new white plastic hard hats. He handed one to each of the boys and told them to adjust the strap until the hat will stay on their head but will be comfortable. He said, "You're going to be wearing these all day. Don't make them too tight." Chris and David accepted these new hats. And then as an afterthought, Pete said, "You'll want to put your name on it. That way you can keep track of it." He continued, "Some guys decorate their helmets. They put stickers on them and draw things, write messages." Then he pointed to his own hat and said, "You can see I don't do that, but I don't object if you want to decorate your hat. Just don't put anything on your hat that would upset people. Nothing dirty, nothing off color." The boys nodded. Each of the boys adjusted the hat until it fit just right, and they found a Sharpie marker in the toolbox, and they wrote their name on the inside of their helmet. Now, this was the first piece of equipment given to the boys, but it wasn't the first piece of equipment that Chris had. His dad had given him a hammer loop. That is a gadget that he put on his belt. It was mounted in leather, but it had a metal loop, and it was intended for a hammer. He had been wearing it all morning, and he wasn't sure where he was going to find a hammer to put in this hammer loop, but he figured it might come in handy. David didn't have such a gadget. Pete set the two boys to work on the carpet. He provided some work gloves, utility knives, and pry bars. He showed how he wanted them to remove the carpet. He freed up an edge. He separated the carpet from the tack strips that held it in place. And then he used the utility knife to cut this carpet into manageable strips, about 3 feet wide and about 10 feet long. He demonstrated to the boys the first strip and then gestured to it and said, "I need you to turn all this carpet into pieces pretty much like this one. Can you do it?" Both boys nodded. At that point, Pete took off. He left the room and left the two boys to figure out how to do this task. They worked the rest of the morning doing this. They found that they needed to pace themselves. This was something they were unfamiliar with. If they tried to work too quickly, they got tired and out of breath. They also got very thirsty. The temperature in the room was comfortable for most people, but when they got to working pretty hard, they got a little sweaty. They got a little overheated. They started to understand that they needed to pace themselves. After about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, they got very thirsty and realized they had not asked Pete where they could get water to drink. This was an oversight on the part of Pete as well. So they took a break to find some water. They also needed to know where the bathroom was. David recalled that they had walked past a bathroom getting to this room, so they retraced their steps in the direction they had come, and they quickly found the bathroom. When they got in there, they were wearing their hard hats, and they took a look at themselves in the mirror. Chris said, "Yep, we're construction workers now." And David said, "Compared to the construction workers I've seen, we're pretty skinny." Chris agreed. Having located the bathroom, their next goal was to find drinking water. They searched around and couldn't find anything, so they entered a doorway off the hall that led into a big office full of people. A short distance from the entrance of that large room, there was a water cooler. They walked toward the water cooler, assuming that they could help themselves to the water. It was during this exploration for water that Chris noticed that this room was full of young ladies. Most of the workers in this large office were young women. He found himself making eye contact with several of these young ladies. There was no opportunity to talk to them, but eye contact was made. He and David got their water and went back to where they were working. When they were cutting the carpet up into these big strips, David mentioned what he had noticed in the room full of the young ladies. That was all that was said. They were back to work. It was slow going cutting up this carpet. The carpet was much heavier than they expected, and the tacks in the tack strip, which attached the carpet to the floor, were much sharper than they expected. It was David that poked his hand first with one of those sharp tacks. He realized that he needed to be more careful, and he needed to always wear those gloves. Toward the end of the morning, Pete showed up. He had been doing something in another part of the building, but he didn't say what it was. He looked at the progress the boys had made and approved. His comment to them was that they weren't breaking any speed records, but they were getting the job done, and he was okay with that. He then shrugged and said, "It's going to take a few days for you to get all this carpet out." He then showed them how to use the pry bars to break the tack strips off the floor. The floor was made out of concrete slab, and the tack strips were put down with cement nails, nails driven into the concrete. Pete explained that they needed to pop the nails out of the concrete. He demonstrated the technique and recommended that they always wear gloves while doing this. He then realized that he had not recommended eye protection. Popping these tack strips up from the floor would call for eye protection. Back to the toolbox, and he found some eye protectors the boys should wear when they're doing something like this. Having demonstrated how to pop the nails to release these tack strips, he had the boys show that they understood how to do it. He was satisfied that they knew what they were doing on that, so he said, "Now let me show you where you're going to put all these strips that you've made out of this old carpet." He showed them where the cart was kept, and then he showed them where the dumpster was. He said, "Now don't overload this cart, just put a bunch of strips on it, but don't go crazy overloading it, because it'll be unwieldy to control. You need to put it in the freight elevator and take it down to the dumpster. Don't overload it." He walked them to the freight elevator and then to the dumpster. So now they knew what they were going to be doing for the next couple of days. Progress on this part of the project was very slow. The boys were very impressed how heavy this carpet was and how dirty it was. As they pulled the strips of carpet up and moved them clouds of dirt and dust came out of the carpet. This was not pleasant. Even though progress with this unwieldy carpet was slow, the day seemed to go by very quickly. Soon it was quitting time, and Pete showed up to assure the boys that it was time to call it a day. He then explained that they would be working here at the newspaper the following day, but the day after that, they would need to report at 7 a.m. at that cabinet factory. Pete told them that they would be working at the cabinet factory for the rest of the week after tomorrow. With that, the boys put their tools away in the toolbox. They waved goodbye to Pete and headed down the hall toward the loading dock. On the way to the car, it was Chris who said, "I don't think I learned much today, maybe a little bit, but mostly I just did a bunch of heavy work." David nodded, said, "Yeah, but that's what they're paying us for." I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.